Welcome to the Drive Time Pod. It's a show with us white bitches talking about whatever the fuck we want. My name is Princess Mariah.
I'm Corey.
My name means princess, so I'm technically saying it, but my name is Sarah.
Oh, man. This week we're talking about princesses, but it's a very specific type of princess. It's a Disney princess. It's got a brand name and a trademark, honey. All right. I'm so excited.
And because we're millennials and can't not talk about Disney princesses.
Yeah, like, no. We grew up with that, and it's like the best thing ever. What is everyone drinking? Shocking no one, I'm drinking water.
Yes. Corey?
I just have Sierra Mist.
Wow.
From Taco John's.
No alcohol.
Remember how we talked about terrible tacos? I got a grilled stuffed taco, which was basically a burrito with a taco on the inside. It was fabulous and completely disgusting.
That makes sense.
Great.
Yeah, so yeah. Sorry. So
the only thing good at Taco John's are the potato oles, which is a fancy word for circular hash browns.
I also disagree. Like, Taco John's is great.
So
I don't like them.
When we were in South Dakota, my mom was like, "Let's go to Taco John's," and I was like, "Don't do it." She's like, "You've been to Taco John's?" It's like, "They have them in Colorado. Don't do it." She was like, "Why?" And I'm like, "You know, it's like Taco Bell, but like."
Better,
different.
Incorrect. It is trashy fast food, and it's great.
Listen,
we're not on a scale of like, you know, Michelin star and Taco John's. This is the scale of like, are you going to go to McDonald's or Taco John's? Absolutely going to Taco John's.
The
first.
Answer is, of course,
McDonald's.
No, Wendy's.
Oh.
So we were only given the choice between McDonald's and Taco John's.
Right.
No, right. Anyway, we're getting way off of topic.
This is Sarah, how Disney princesses.
Sarah, what are you drinking? And also, why are we doing this?
Okay, so I am finishing up a soda, a Coke from Del Taco. And then I'll have water once I'm done with that. And I don't know. I like princesses. Okay.
Yeah,
that's great. The answer.
They're beautiful and wonderful and so great and so nice. So, Sarah, since this is your topic, I'm going to hand over interviewing duties to you. Go.
Thank you. So, I decided that I would start with a combination of who are the Disney princesses, which includes the brief history about the Disney princesses.
Ooh, history lesson!
Yay! So,
we're going to start with Snow White. She is the first official Disney princess. She is German origin because she's part of the brother. Is she part of the Brothers Grimm? Mm-hmm. That I don't actually know for sure.
I believe so. Yes.
I just know that her German name is Sneewittchen, which is super fun.
Yes, she's in my Grimm Brothers book. So
okay,
yes.
So German in origin, Brothers Grimm. And then she, I'm going to say each person's age, because I just feel like I didn't know this,
mm-hmm.
and everyone needs to know this. So she's yes. 14.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that makes me feel really terrible.
Yeah,
because like the whole thing is like I feel like Snow White, the whole thing is like a rape allegory.
Yeah.
Right, like
mm-hmm. anyways, yeah, so we'll get gross. Into all of those things later. So the second princess we have is Cinderella, which is mm-hmm. French in origin, but she comes in at a nice 19 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, legal! We love to see it.
Because the prince will have sex with everyone, but make sure it's legal.
And then princess number 3 is Aurora, or Sleeping Beauty. She is Italian in origin, and she's 16 years old.
No way! Mm-hmm. She's Italian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Today I learned. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right?
Fourth princess is Ariel, or the Little Mermaid. Danish in origin. That's a Hans Christian Andersen story. And she is also 16 years old. Fifth princess is Belle, French in origin, and 17 years old. And then number 6, we have Jasmine, who is our first person of color. No real, like, it's just Middle Eastern origin. It's not like a set fairy tale, okay. I think
yeah.
They kind of like went loosely off of like Scheherazade's stories, but not really at all.
Gotcha.
Yeah, she's completely made up because like Aladdin is one of the stories in A Thousand and One Nights. But
Jasmine doesn't exist.
Jasmine is completely made up.
But she is our first non-white princess.
Yay!
We love to see it! Go, Jasmine!
Oh, also, they specify that Ariel is the first not-human princess because she's a mermaid. I thought that was an interesting line to draw.
Right. You're like, okay. Yeah.
But Jasmine is 15 years old. I had no idea.
What?
Yeah. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to let you say this explains so much of the sass that occurs in all of
and why
Disney
she doesn't
want
to get married.
Well, I'm not surprised to be one.
But all of them, it's like, yeah, you're a sassy teenager. All of these women are sassy teenagers who are over it.
Basically.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Like I understand why they're all like, I want to be where the people are because I hate my family.
Basically.
Yes.
So, Jasmine.
I'm just.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to be singing the whole time.
Oh, that's fine.
Everyone has to deal with it. And if I'm off key, don't tell me. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Excellent. All right. Number 7 is Pocahontas, who is obviously Native American. She is the first person in the princess category that's based loosely, and I say loosely, on a real life human.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
and
loose.
Her character in the movie is 18 years old.
Okay.
In history, she's 12.
Yeah. And
that's a whole thing.
That's a whole section we're going to have on this podcast.
Great.
Later.
I'm excited.
And then number 8. Bringing up the end of the princesses that I grew up with, well, we both, all of us grew up with for the most of our lives, is Mulan.
Yes!
Who's Chinese in origin, also loosely based on a real life person. She's the only non-royal or princess, like actual princess, listed. Okay. But she technically becomes royal adjacent when she marries Shang, I guess, whatever, but they made sure to specify
I mean she's already part of the landed gentry, so she's she's part of the bourgeoisie,
and she didn't have her feet bound.
She didn't,
so yeah, which is real rich. Sick. I mean, yeah, but also feet binding is a more recent historical phenomenon. That's more like Tang Dynasty, so it's 1400s. Mulan's from before that.
Yeah. Gotcha. And then she's 16. So.
What?
Yeah,
I knew that one too. Isn't that crazy?
Oh shit.
Yep.
I'm telling you, they're all sassy teenagers.
I love it.
Alrighty. So after Mulan, we move into what I like to call the new princesses, because they all came once we were all quote unquote adults.
Fair. Yeah.
Quote unquote.
I mean, we're not adults now.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was like, I would argue that I'm an adult right now. But we were all over the age of 18. So
I'm allegedly in charge now. I don't like it, but you know.
Yeah. So first we have Tiana, who is the first American princess and the first Black princess.
Which it took too long.
Yes, 2009.
In my personal opinion.
Year. Took too long. She is 19 years old. Great age. Then we have Rapunzel, German origin, another Brothers Grimm story, 18 years old. Merida, Scottish origin. I don't believe that's based on any fairy tale that I know.
I do. It is actually. I think it is. It's based on a Scottish folk tale.
Oh, fun.
Called The Bear and the Bow.
Cute.
Yeah.
She's 16. Yeah. Yeah. And then the last of the official, they've been, and I'll tell you, official Disney princesses is Moana, who is the first completely original character that's listed as a Disney princess. And she is obviously an islander person of color, 16 years old. And so those 12 are the only Disney princesses officially.
Like Elsa and Anna aren't official?
Yeah.
They're queens.
So there are some former princesses who like had been sold with the princess merchandise over the years. So Tinkerbell was considered that until 2008 when she started her own franchise of the Disney Fairies franchise.
Oh, right. Right, right, right.
And then Esmeralda was considered a Disney princess until 2004. Apparently sales weren't great or some other bullshit.
Bullshit. That's the best.
And then Jane Porter from Tarzan was also listed very briefly. They didn't even give me a date range as a princess. And then unofficially, there are several. Let's see. I took a picture, guys, of all the unofficial Disney princesses. We have Anna from Frozen, who was 18 in the first movie. Elsa from Frozen, who was 21 in the first movie. And then Maid Marian from Robin Hood, Nala, and Kiara from Lion King.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, Kiara! Yes!
Meg from Hercules, Ada and Dot from A Bug's Life.
Yes.
Melody from The Little Mermaid 2. Ugh. The Daughters of Triton from The Little Mermaid. Kida from Atlantis.
Oh my god.
Oh, Kidaka gosh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. My queen?
Yes.
Queen of Atlantis.
It is such an underrated movie.
It really is. Oh. Giselle from Enchanted.
Mm-hmm.
Vanellope von Schweetz from Wreck-It Ralph. Sophia and Amber from Sophia the First. Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck from Mickey Mouse. Miss Piggy from The Muppets. Feline from Bambi. Alice from Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. So.
Yeah, they could have had Feline as their first non-human princess.
And then
you know what's really second.
Yeah, but you know what's really crazy is listening to that, you know which one is suspiciously missing is Eilonwy.
Oh,
who's the princess in the Black Cauldron.
I didn't know how to pronounce her name. She's on the list.
Yes. The forgotten Disney movie, because Disney tried to do Lord of the Rings but for children and they failed miserably. Not my fave.
Wait, did they really, they truly were trying to do Lord of the Rings?
Because the Black Cauldron is a, like, a Lord of the Rings light kind of book series.
Oh, because my brother and I just watched it for the first time. Yes, I'm 30. And we were like, this is just Frodo.
Yeah,
so. But that's on purpose.
So this idea is not mine. Mm-hmm. So I would like to say, Natalie. this is your idea. I'm just putting it out into the world for you. Disney should remake the Black Cauldron on Disney Plus, a la The Mandalorian, make it a mini series, maybe a season, 10 episodes to really flesh it out so that people actually buy into the Black Cauldron.
It would be so good.
And I'm like, honestly, that's probably that's a really great idea. It'd be like Game of Thrones, The Lord of the Rings, and Disney. And it'd be so sick. And with all of the technology that The Mandalorian has, that Disney now just has in their back pocket because they own Lucasfilm, it would be pretty sick.
It would be awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Anyway, Black Cauldron tangent.
That's fine.
Over.
So now that we've kind of talked about like who they are according, so they actually do get coronations officially, like IRL.
Shut up. What? Yes. At like Disneyland and shit?
Yeah, different places. So like, oh my God. Tiana, I think, was officially her coronation was in London. Like, I don't even understand. It's not even something I really want to go into, but I wanted to let you know that those 12 mm-hmm. minus, I think, Moana is she is for sure a princess. I don't know if they had a coronation for her or not, whatever. But they all they all had an official
coronation. That is great. For Disney
princesses.
That is so on brand for Disney.
Right? It really is.
I'm more surprised that I didn't know about it than and like being surprised by the fact that there is an actual coordination. Yeah. Like, that's so silly. Yep. That's so silly. And I love it.
So then I think we'll just start with the first question is who, if you only had one, if you had a couple, who were your favorite Disney princesses? And you can separate it by like when you were growing up versus now that you have the whole canon. Like I wrote down old school versus new school because there's the
all right.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I have a couple of favorite Disney princesses. Because I was really like I worshipped my older cousins as a kid. So my favorite princess was their favorite princess, which was Pocahontas.
Okay.
Like I loved Pocahontas. I'm like partly because like Pocahontas came out when we were like six or something, mm-hmm. right? Like 97.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
So like I'm sure that also helped bolster my interest in history and like
95.
So that was like even
actually
95. So four. Yeah. So like, mm-hmm. so, yeah, that makes sense.
Because Mulan was 98.
Wow. Really? Yeah. Why am I so old?
Anyway. I know, right?
So I love Pocahontas. I had the Pocahontas like point and click storybook game on CD-ROM and it was so great. I loved all of like Miko.
Yeah.
The little raccoon was like everything uh-huh. to me because like me and my brother, like before about the age of like, I would say for me, maybe 8 years old, we basically were like, we got along famously for siblings. Right. And so we did like everything together because we were forced to. And so his favorite animal was a raccoon. And so I would get to be Pocahontas and he would be Miko in the backyard and we would just pretend.
Yes.
And it was so cute.
I love that.
Which is great, right?
Yes.
And I don't even know if he remembers doing this. And it's just like bringing, like, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I have that memory just like in my brain. New school, my favorite movie is Tangled, but my favorite princess is Tiana because Tiana to me, she's a three, hard working. And I'm just like, wow. Like you can wish all you want, but you're never going to get there if you don't work for it. And I'm like, truth. That's me. Uh-huh. I love uh-huh. you. And like, she also has to deal with racism in the 1920s in Louisiana. Oh, and I'm like, God. I love you.
Right.
Yeah.
I love you, Tiana. Mm-hmm. You're the greatest. And now I have two more. My favorite non, like unofficial princess is Megara. She's the best.
Yes.
I will take no further comments.
I was like, wait, Megara. Oh, Hercules.
Meg.
Gotcha. Yes.
Hercules.
Meg. Yes. Mm-hmm. Meg.
Mm-hmm. Us plebes. Like, just I'm call a damsel. Meg.
Yeah. I'm a damsel. I'm in distress. I can handle it. Have a nice day. Uh-huh. Like, bitch, I love you. Uh-huh. I want to be you. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite princess of all time, the one, the only, Leia Organa, Princess of Alderaan, General of the New Galactic Republic.
She is a Disney princess.
She's uh-huh. technically a Disney princess because Disney Lucasfilm, and that's my favorite, which means her son is a prince.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I mean, he always was in our hearts, and then Disney yes. made it official.
So good. All right, Corey.
So I have a lot of answers, and I'm sorry ahead of time.
Okay.
I was born legitimately. My mother was in labor and pushed me out to Little Mermaid. So, that ages me.
You, because you wanted to be where the people are.
So I, on a very side note. My mom has this beautiful dog who I am in love with, Guster. And Gus wants to know where the people are all the time. So I always sing him. I go, I want to know where the people are. I want to see if they're eating something that I can eat. And he's always like, he looks at me and he's so excited. He follows everyone around. So there's that. You're welcome, everyone, for my terrible singing voice. But then
it was incredible. Thank you.
So, and I mean, I've legitimately always loved swimming. I started swimming, like, my mom probably put me in one of those, like, you know, postnatal when you're still, like, just out of the womb swim classes, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I loved Belle in all her books. My mom has pictures and, like, old school video camera footage of me dancing around the house, singing and pretending that I'm Belle.
Mm-hmm.
So those were kind of like two princesses of, like, when I was very little that I just always have loved. I remember when Mulan came out and I could not handle it. I was so thrilled. I loved that movie. I loved Mulan. I wanted to be her. I remember, like, trying to punch down a tree in the backyard, like when they do, like, with the stones in the training.
Hell yes. Like,
I loved Mulan. And then, truthfully, I have loved a lot of the new ones. Like, Tiana, I cried in theaters watching.
Oh, the Princess and the Frog. Yeah.
Moana makes me so happy. That whole movie is so good. But then a non-Disney princess that I truthfully decided as a princess because it makes me cry is Lilo and Stitch.
Mm.
That, okay, so, and I know that it has now been said many times, and so people are like, yeah, okay, whatever, white girl. But when people were coming out with Frozen and they were like, it's the first movie that shows sisters, my sister and I were like, where has everyone forgotten about Ohana? Has everyone forgotten about Lilo?
Ohana means
family. And family means no one
family
gets left
means
behind.
No one behind or forgotten.
So, those are truthfully, but I love, like, if you've watched Brave, I love Merida, and really, she's probably the only Disney princess movie where she is 16 and it's perfect, because her mom is trying to get her to be more adult so that eventually she can get married. Like, it's a perfect age. Like, mm-hmm. They're preparing her for marriage. She's not going to be married at 16. And it's just great. But, Yeah, those are my...
And plus, the whole cast is incredible.
It's incredible. So I mean, the whole movie is so good, if you guys haven't seen it.
Like, yeah. I believe the mom in Brave is Emma Thompson.
Oh, I don't remember that. But yeah, I mean, everyone is so good. And my on another side note, my favorite part in Wreck-It Ralph, the Ralph Breaks the Internet...
Oh, the whole...
Is when she goes in and sees the princess and Merida is talking and they're like, yeah, we never know what she's saying.
If you had the chance to change your
and
face.
I was like, yeah, not wrong.
Would ya?
But yeah, so I mean, legitimately, like, that's the princesses have always been a great thing. And you watch them now and you're like, ooh, some of this is a little problematic. But like, mm-hmm. when you're growing up, it doesn't matter. Like, I saw Ariel as very strong and I saw, you know, Belle is really strong and just all of that. So,
yeah.
Well, and you are also right. Her mother, Eleanor, is Emma Thompson.
I'm correct. Ding, ding, ding. I'm a winner.
Yeah. Yeah. I never looked at the cast. This is incredible.
Yeah. What's his name? The guy who's in Boondock Saints, Billy.
Connelly.
Something or other. Billy Connolly is her dad, which is incredible.
Uh-huh.
The girl who plays Merida, she's like
Kelly McDonald.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. She's in this really awesome movie called The like Decoy Bride with David Tennant.
It's so good.
It's one of my
oh
favorites.
My god, it's so good.
I've watched that movie so many times. It's so great.
I love that movie. The only shame of The Decoy Bride is that David Tennant is English in it when he's Scottish, and it takes place in the like
Hebrides,
Outer Hebrides.
Yeah,
just like of all. Okay, that was a choice, and I don't agree with it, but that's fine.
Right.
That's...
Mm-hmm. But Brave was one of the first Disney movies, and I just remember seeing this when it came out, so I could be wrong now, but they were like, we actually tried to go and use, like, people who are from Scotland. And then in Moana, I know most people who are in that movie are, like, of Polynesian descent or mm-hmm. Pacific Islander. And so, like, it's kind of, it was, like, the start of them trying to, like, fix wrongs in the past, because I think,
and
like...
They're still working on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we Sarah, I'm going to derail you for a minute. Can we just, we need to talk about the live action Mulan at some point.
Okay, we can talk about it at some point.
Okay, great. So yeah, you haven't told us your favorite.
Yes. So my one true love has always been Belle.
Yes.
That makes 100% sense.
Right? Anyone who knows me, it's not going to shock you that Belle is my favorite because she would rather read than socialize.
Yes.
And I feel that I literally was the kid who would sit during recess and read all my Nancy Drew books. Mm-hmm. And I didn't give any fucks about going and doing recess. Like, that was never fun to me. I was like, but we're supposed to learn. Like, I'm like, let's learn. I like school. And then I'm like, oh, I want to read. Why do I want to run around? It's not a thing.
Cannot yes. read. But okay. Oh,
again, I know. I am a very interesting human. It's fine.
I love you. Never change.
Oh, I won't. And literally, I just love the library scene. I just... I can't get over it. It's so great. And then I did like that she was very strong and opinionated. And so, yeah, Belle has always been my favorite. I hated it because I'm blonde hair, blue eyed. And so when we would play princess dress ups, I was informed that I couldn't be Belle because I had to be Cinderella because she's blonde hair and blue eyed. And I'm like, and so, yeah, I do like a lot of the newer princesses. I just, none of them really top Belle for me. But I appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy the movies. I really do like, I guess since they're unofficial, Anna and Elsa, I liked them a lot.
Yeah.
I like some of the issues that they tackle in their movies. So, yeah.
Nice.
On the flip side, do you have a least favorite?
A least favorite Disney princess?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about the ones I'm just least familiar with, even though I took the personality test at Disneyland that says I am the most like this Disney princess, I am apparently the most like Ada.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I've only seen A Bug's Life once, and it was when it came out in like 1999, so I'm like, yeah. I don't even remember, like, I know what the plot is about because it's about the working class rising up against the bourgeoisie, which I love to see.
I highly recommend rewatching it. Yeah, right now,
definitely.
It ages, I'm not gonna say it ages poorly or well, it just ages, and it's so fascinating.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But, like, I mean, I just, like, never really watched I didn't really get into A Bug's Life because I was just, like, I feel like a lot of the stuff in that movie just went over my head as an 8-year-old.
Yes.
And it wasn't as, like, fun as Toy Story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Uh-huh.
Which, I love. Is Woody a Disney princess?
He's a Pixar, so no.
Yeah.
So is Merida.
But Merida was after the Disney Pixar.
Oh, merge, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're correct. Yeah. You're correct.
Things I know too much about.
I love unnecessary information. Like, this is one of the few times where I'm like, I like the Disney princesses, but I'm like not hashtag obsessed with them, so like I'm just like, oh, this, I'm along for the ride on this one. This is good. Like, I know enough to get by. I mostly just know all the songs. Like, that's that's my one thing. Mm-hmm. Is because I, you know, I'm a reformed theater kid, so I grew up singing all of these songs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I will say, I have a cousin who's 8, almost 9, and truthfully, before she came into our lives, I really dropped off like the Disney train. Like, it was like, okay, cool, like, we're going to go see Frozen as a family, but, like, I don't really care, you know, whatever. And when you have a child in your life who looks at you and is like, this is so magical, is magic real? You're like, oh, this is why Disney is amazing. because it continues to kind of be that evergreen. And I mean, she and I didn't just watch like the new movies together. We've watched like older ones. And I'm like, yeah, I loved Belle when I was your age. And her eyes get so big. And she's like, you were my age and you watched this. And you're like, yeah. Yes, I was young once.
I too used to be a child.
Yes. You know, and on a totally different note, like I'm super into Trolls because of her, because she loves Trolls. So we've seen like every single thing that's Trolls related. But anyway, that's like the side note.
Like the Justin Timberlake vehicle?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
Because okay, cool. I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah, but I've also seen all of the Netflix specials, the Trolls Christmas special.
Right. I don't even know what that world is like.
It's fun and really colorful.
I mean, okay, all right, fair enough.
But I think like on that side note, like that's why Disney is so great and why the princesses are so great. Because if you then have like a little kid in your life, you kind of rediscover the magic.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Corey, do you have a least favorite?
No, my thing was always when I was a kid, if I was going to be scared or not.
Okay.
Because truthfully, like I was such a terrified little child of life. So Sleeping Beauty really scared the shit out of me.
How did I know? Because of Maleficent, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And not that she's a princess, but Alice in Wonderland, I fucking refused to watch that movie.
Oh, that is a bad trip. Mm-hmm. Like,
that movie scared me. Yeah, so, like, those kinds of stuff I would just stay away from. So I don't really have a princess that I, like, couldn't stand.
Okay.
It would be more like if I was going to have a nightmare when I watched it.
Gotcha.
Fair enough.
And right. Sleeping – and actually, so what was Sleeping Beauty, we then got – we got a VHS, like, a new one. At one point at the end, they had this whole thing with like the artists and they were showing you how they made the art, and it was like this brand new form of art, and it was like patterned over each other, and they would slide like glass plates over each other, and it would make the forest look almost 3D and like all this really cool stuff. And so after that I was less afraid of it. But yeah, still Maleficent was terrifying.
Gotcha.
I mean, to this day, like even at Disneyland, they have Fantasmic, which is a great show, on the water of the Rivers of America. And the best part about that show is when, like, there's a Maleficent, like, who's, like, torturing Mickey in his, like, dreamland. And she's like, well, fuck you! she, like, turns into, like, she goes from this tiny person on, like, Tom Sawyer Island, and then the lights go out, and it's, like, pitch black, and all of, like, this the magic of Disney is that she turns into a massive dragon that does completely cover the entirety of Tom Sawyer Island within 15 seconds. And it's really, it's terrifying for the children. And the first time I saw it, I was like maybe 18, and I was like, the fuck? I mean, Maleficent is so scary, but she's so badass, and I love her so much. Anyway,
yeah.
My Maleficent Fantasmic is over. Tangent.
So I guess I'm the only one who has princesses she can't stand. I forgot that besides Belle, I also liked Jasmine and Mulan because they were just badass, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. They were also opinionated. And I just really appreciated that because my life was not necessarily about finding the prince that I was going to marry. You know?
Right.
Like, we have people, like, my sister, bless her heart, has always wanted to be a mom her whole life. Like, that's what she dreams about and what she wants to do. And I'm like, that's fantastic. I've never, ever wanted that.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'd like to, maybe eventually. You know? But it's never been, like, a life goal.
Right.
Right.
Anyways, but back to the ones I couldn't stand are basically the first three: Snow White, Cinderella, and Aurora. I thought they were pointless and stupid.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like, rewatching Snow White, Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty. Sorry, Natalie. Aurora's her favorite.
No.
And she's like she's our friend who listens, and we love you. But oh my God, Aurora's asleep for 90% of that movie. She's only awake for 14 minutes.
I want to know where their personalities are. Ariel was the first one to have a personality, and I think she's great. She just was never one of my favorites because she falls in love with a stranger. But, you know, like...
Yeah.
You know, the other three, I was like, literally, wait, there's no personality. There's nothing. Your whole point in life is what? I don't get it. And so I very much didn't. I still don't. I don't get it. Whatever.
Yeah. That's fair. It's totally fair.
Those are my least favorite.
No.
Anyways, I think Mariah's kind of answered this question, and I'm going to tie it into two things, but is there a princess that you identified with the most, if at all? And if you didn't, that's totally fine. And then I also have a list of Enneagram and Coffee came out with your Disney princess per Enneagram number. And so I will tell you yours.
If Tiana's not a three, I swear to God.
Anyways, but first you have to answer the question, is there one that you identified the most with? And if not, cool. And then I'll tell you your Enneagram princess.
I mean, yeah, mine is for sure Tiana. Like, that was the first time I ever saw somebody on, like, she's a hero on screen and her personality matches mine. Like, she's upbeat and she's working hard for the things that she wants, but she's still a romantic. And I was like, girl, same. Girl, same.
Yeah. And like, you'd be correct. Enneagram and Coffee does list Tiana as a three. The traits are success-driven and pragmatic, ambitious, competent, and charming, inspires others to invest in their own self-development, values admiration from others, can slip into workaholism. And then the quote...
Correct.
Exactly. Yes. The quote that she features is, if you do your best each and every day, good things are sure to come your way.
Yeah,
man. I 100%, and we're almost there.
Exactly.
Almost there.
Yes.
People gonna come here for maybe. And I'm almost there. That honestly also opinion.
Okay.
The Princess and the Frog has the best music, straight up. It has straight up. You know why?
Yes.
You know why? Because it's jazz. That is it. That is it. And it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Corey?
All the songs.
Belle. I absolutely wanted to be Belle so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I definitely, because of all the books, I love the library scene.
Yep.
I mean, it's still like if I didn't know a man at all and he showed up and was like, hi, see this library? This is yours. I'd be like, all right, I'll marry you.
Yeah.
I'll never see you because I'll be in here reading the whole time. But sure, I'll marry you. Why not?
I just feel like you need to have way more in common than just like reading books in order to marry someone.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I would marry them, but I would definitely sleep with them.
Here's the thing. I don't need to, because if he has a library that big, he has a lot of money. So that's great. Second, if he reads all of those books, then he's probably smart and interesting. Thirdly, that library is so big, you could get lost and never talk to him ever again. So, you know.
Right. She's thought it out, Mariah. She knows what she's going to do.
I mean, she knows what her life that's is. Totally that's totally fair. That's totally fair. All right.
So it'll be a marriage of convenience in the best convenience.
Honestly, though, okay.
Yeah.
We'll see you, Corey.
I just outed myself as a gold digger. You're welcome.
She give me money when I'm in need.
So
she's a trifling.
Your Disney princess.
Yes, as a six.
As a six, because attention listeners, if you listen to our Enneagram podcast and you're like, Corey's a four, what the fuck are you talking about? She's not. She's a six.
We're going to do a follow-up Enneagram and talk all about it.
We are. So she says that Enneagram 6 princess is Rapunzel, the loyalist.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's
and
fair.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So the traits are committed, security-oriented, cooperative, playful and lovable, trying to understand whether others are friendly or hostile, likely to hang on to relationships far longer than most others, can slip into worry and skepticism. And your quote is, and when I promise something, I never, ever break that promise, ever.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is correct.
Also, another thing that Corey and Rapunzel have in common is never-ending craft projects.
Yeah.
That is true.
That is very true. I have a story about Rapunzel. Are you guys ready?
I'm so ready.
Yeah. When Tangled came out, I was teaching at a preschool. In case you have completely forgotten how beautiful the world is, go teach four-year-olds. Four turning five-year-olds are the most precious human beings on this earth. They are stupid and beautiful and so smart. And you're just like, what is happening? But there was a little girl in the class. I will not say her name. And she had very long blonde hair. So Tangled comes out and she's like, I'm Tangled. Just call me Rapunzel. I'm the princess. And was kind of getting a little snitty about it, you know? And there was this girl who had brown hair, green eyes, like Belle. And she goes up to her and she goes, Rapunzel would not treat people the way you are treating people. Rapunzel would be kind.
Yes.
And I was just standing there like, I don't have to do any teaching. You are teaching yourselves. This is incredible. And this little girl with the long hair went, oh, you're right. She would love you. And then they like started braiding each other's hair. And I was like, what Disney film am I living in right now? How is this real? But I think that also shows like the influence that Disney can have on showing like children how to be kind to each other and how to like grow up. Cause she was getting, this girl was about to get a big head about her long hair.
Yeah.
And this other girl was like, mm-mm. That's not how a princess behaves.
I love that.
But it was so fun. And they were so obsessed with Tangled. All I heard about was Tangled for like a year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame them. I saw Tangled with Mariah, actually.
Oh, I love that.
I talked of nothing else for a year.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. The music is so good.
Yeah.
I agree that Tiana's music is like the best, but their music has gotten, like they hired some good people for music.
Also, Rapunzel's got the hottest.
Hands down.
Correct.
The hottest. Mm-hmm. The hottest man.
100%.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. The hottest. Mm-hmm. Naveen is a close second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And coming in at a strong third is Ben Solo.
Well,
that
and
is
then...
how... That is how strongly I feel about Flynn Rider.
Okay.
And Mulan.
Like,
and Shang.
We have Shang.
Shang. Shang is fourth. Shang is fourth for sure.
Mm. Oh, we'll just have to have a Disney princess or Disney prince episode, and we can rank them by hot.
For sure.
I would agree with. I would agree that Flynn is number one. I would disagree with the rest of the numbers, and that's okay. That's not a conversation we need to have today.
No, I mean, I love a follow-up Disney prince.
Yes.
Because like, you know, because I have opinions.
Yeah,
I have so many opinions on the Disney princes.
Well, and I took a class in college called Folk and Fairy Tales, and I was telling Sarah this maybe a week ago. I wrote an entire paper and like presentation on Disney princes.
You're gonna have to find it.
Yeah, I will. I'll find the thing. And like how they're named or not named and like this whole thing. But yeah. Also, we studied all of the like classical Disney movies, but the actual story, and like they're all so fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little Mermaid, Sleeping Beauty, like it's all so fucked up.
Yep.
Cinderella. So yeah.
So it's no surprise that the princess that I identified the most with is Belle again.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I don't even need to. I feel like I explained why earlier.
Right.
So, and she's also listed as by Enneagram and Coffee as the number five, Enneagram number five princess.
Yay.
My friend and coworker likes to send me different Disney Princess Enneagram memes, and there have been ones where Belle is not the number five, and I'm like, excuse me.
That is like not correct.
To argue that Cinderella was a five.
No. Absolutely not. She's like a two.
Or Cinderella or Aurora. It's one of the ones I really dislike. That they list, and I'm like, as a five. I take issue with this. So,
yeah.
Her characteristics are independent, innovative, and inventive. A visionary pioneer ahead of her time. Can see the world in a new way. Knowledge and understanding are highly valued. Can slip into rejecting all social attachments. Yep. Not wrong.
Yep.
With a dreamy, far-off look and her nose in a book is the quote.
Yes.
With a dreamy, far-off look. And her nose stuck in a book.
Yes.
She's a funny girl, that Belle.
I just recently rewatched that movie, and truthfully, I don't know how many years it had been since I'd seen it, but the first song is so good, because at first you're like, Belle is a total dick. Like, she's walking around town like, you're all so provincial and, like, boring. But then they're all like, she's so weird. Why does she read? And it's so good. How just no she's one like, understand each other.
Gonna get ideas and start thinking for herself.
They're like, it's so bad that she doesn't. It's so sad that she doesn't fit in. And I'm like, oh, okay. You're all on the same pages. We're fine.
Yes. Okay, I will say this, though. Belle has, like, I am obsessed with all of these songs, right? And Belle has some of the best solos of all of the Disney princesses. And it shows in the fact that Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
As an animated children's film before there was a Best Picture category for animation at the Oscars, the Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture of the Year.
Mm-hmm. And like Tale is All This Time won an Oscar, didn't it?
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
My girl, Angela Lansbury. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Murder, She Wrote.
Motherfucking yeah. See, like, it's so crazy because, like, so many people know Angela Lansbury as Mrs. Potts, and then Corey has the I'm a Sweeney Todd person, and Corey's like,
it's Murder, She Wrote.
Listen,
Cabot Cove, Maine.
The most murders per capita in the U.S. possibly for a 3,000 person town.
It's incredible.
Listen,
I
eventually
love
that. She had to go to like New York and Paris and stuff because there was no one else to be murdered in Cabot Cove.
It's incredible. I've never seen a single episode of Murder, She Wrote, and I know where she lives.
I love that show. Okay, sorry.
Corey
sorry,
talks
Sarah.
About it too much.
It's the best. It's such a good show. Okay. We've derailed, Sarah.
No, you're good. It's fine. all right. So here we get to talk about everyone's favorite subject. How problematic are the Disney princesses?
So.
I know you guys have opinions and thoughts.
So problematic.
Have at it.
I would like to say, first and foremost, that the first three princesses with no personality, that is a misogynistic worldview that all three of them are in. And then basically all of the Disney princesses, all the official ones, except for Mary and Moana,
mm-hmm.
all of them eventually end up happily ever after with a man.
Except for Merida.
And I'm like...
Well, and Elsa doesn't.
And Elsa.
But I was saying officially, besides Merida and Moana, those are the only ones officially. Elsa, I am so mad.
Mm-hmm.
I have opinions about Elsa. And I'm like, bitch, just let her have a girlfriend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's this thing that Disney has started doing in the last couple years where they like start teasing a gay relationship and then they don't have it.
Yeah.
And
it's called queer baiting.
Yeah. And you're just like, honestly, like, you guys need to fuck off. Like, either do it or don't, but, like, grow a pair, you know? Don't keep trying to, like, pretend you're going to be not conservative.
Yeah.
Like, you're just a bunch of conservative assholes in Hollywood who don't care about humans and how they want to see a love story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for all intents and purposes, if I ever have children, Elsa had a girlfriend in Frozen 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is what I will tell my children, that woman in the forest is her girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So.
Yeah, man. And then the other thing is Pocahontas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would just very much like to enlightened savage myth that Disney pushes in Pocahontas. That is complete bullshit. I hate that generations, millions upon millions of people think that Pocahontas and Jack were an item when in reality they were about 30 years apart, which is super gross. That being said, John Smith, what a fucking hottie. Oh my
God. And he's voiced by Mel Gibson, so problematic, but also
we don't like Mel Gibson.
But his voice
And
Christian Bale played John Smith's friend. Like, oh,
Thomas. And Coco
had the body.
Mariah, this is a children's
listen. We're explicit. And then the fact that, like,
the thing that I
go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. My last thing is just all of the princesses of color are so scantily clad until Tiana. And I'm just like, or actually Mulan, but she dresses in drag and it's super great. I mean, okay, so I retract my statement. Two of the princesses of color, Jasmine and Pocahontas, are sexy. And I'm just like, stop.
So this is where, oh my gosh, that hurts. That's the worst sound ever. And I can't edit it. Okay.
I won't do it again.
So here's the thing. That this is where Tumblr is truthfully this like beacon of hope in the world. There is an artist, and if I can find it, I will post it on our Instagram. But she rendered all of the Disney princesses in accurate time period outfits. And it is so good. All of them. You know, what Jasmine would have actually looked like, what Pocahontas would have actually, because Pocahontas, was she supposed to be Iroquois? Do you remember?
Powhatan.
Okay.
So that's the actual tribe that Pocahontas is from, the Powhatan tribe.
Okay. So she rendered her in like traditional Powhatan outfit and hair and what she actually would have looked like, what her jewelry would have looked like, but all of them. She put Cinderella in correct like French outfit for the time period, like all of these people, and it is so good. And I truthfully, like, until I saw that post, didn't question it. You know, like, didn't really think like, oh, their outfits are not correct, whatever. And so then when like an artist comes in and goes, no, here, we're gonna correctly represent people, and you're like, oh, this is so cool, and this is why representation matters. It's just Tumblr's great for that, and if we can find it, I'll definitely post it.
Yeah, the coolest one is, like, because Jasmine doesn't have a, like, source, she, like, the artist had to, like, make up what they thought the Jasmine would look like, and it's, like, trying to find pre-Islamic Middle Eastern documents and, like, clothes is a little hard, especially here in the West. So I was just like, wow, that's actually really cool.
I think what she said, and that's the other thing too that I like, is that people will say, I'm trying to do it as best as I can, if you know better, let me know. But I think what she said was that she based Jasmine as if she was in the 1001 Nights, so then that's also Saudi Arabia, so then you just go back through history, pre-Islamic Saudi Arabia, and try to dress her how that would be. Which is just like really cool. Do you know the newest problematic thing that's occurring with Disney?
What?
Are you guys ready for this? I legitimately am ready to boycott Disney because of how they're treating Mulan live action.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a Mulan live action that was supposed to come out, and it got pushed back because of COVID. And I think it was Trolls 2. For Trolls 2, like DreamWorks or whoever's in charge, they just released it on all, like, you know, you can get it on your DirecTV, you can get it on Amazon Prime, and you just rent it. And it was for the normal rental prices of, like, $3.99, you know, $6, whatever. They made, like, a shit ton of money. They made, like, $8 million, which no one was expecting, because we don't know how COVID is going to be treating the movie industry.
So Disney saw that and said, ew, we're going to be gigantic fucking assholes. And we're going to release it on Disney Plus only. So you still have to subscribe to our service. And then we're going to charge you $30 for the movie. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Disney. For one, like, for one, their whole, like, thing was that, well, it's what, like, it's what people would have paid to go see in the theaters. No. What if it's a single mom and her one kid? They would have paid maybe $15, $16 because they would have gone to matinee. And, like, been maybe to go to, like, on a Tuesday stimulus day, you know, where they're, like, cheap or whatever. Like, no. So then what they're going to do, and this is me calling it now, is it's going to fail because no one's going to pay $30 on top of paying a rental fee, on top of getting onto their, like, you know, streaming service. And it's going to completely fail. And then they're going to blame it on her being Asian. And they're going to blame it on all kinds of other shit when it's them being greedy assholes.
Yes, Corey.
And
thank you.
Truthfully, like, fuck you, Disney. The actors in Mulan deserve better. Mulan deserves better. And I am, like, ready to boycott them. Because no. For one, that is, like, not... I could just keep going. I'm sorry. But, like, Disney princesses are supposed to be accessible to everyone. That's why we've been fighting for representation. That's why we've been fighting for people to have actual good stories. And now you're making it, like, behind this huge paywall where people... 30 million people don't have jobs right now. They're not going to pay you $30 to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's my hot take. And that's why Disney is the most problematic right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Disney's always problematic. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that they treat their independent contractors is terrible. The way that they treat the people who work for them is terrible. They constantly are stealing copyright and then preventing other people from taking copyright. Like, they're a giant megalocorporation that is terrible. However, I like their movies.
It's this catch 22, isn't it? It's this huge, yeah. Like, all the things we've talked about up to this of, like, representation and, oh my gosh, it was, like, a strong female character I could look up to. And here are the, like, there's so much good that then when, like, there's this dark underbelly and you're like, ugh! How do I deal with this as a modern era person in the 21st century?
And, like, it's like I could put my money where my morals are, but then I would have to never watch Star Wars again, and that kind of makes me mad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I could do it.
That's the worst, is they know that.
Yeah, and, like, that's the thing is, like, Disney has this whole thing about inclusivity that a lot of modern companies have. It's very performative.
Mm-hmm.
And like they say, they talk a big game about inclusivity and, you know, pro this, that, and the other thing. But if you really look down at it, like Disney is the corporation that people want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has longevity. It has world renown. Like, product, it has brand recognition, it is moldable, shapeable, remixable, and everybody wants in, and they can sell anything.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so dangerous. So consume responsibly.
Yeah. And so there's my angry moment.
Love it.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah.
So we can, I legitimately, like, so I found that out about a week ago and I was at my, well, maybe like 2 weeks ago, and I was at my parents' house and I started screaming in my mom's kitchen and was so angry. And my dad just looks at me and goes, ooh, that sounds like a podcast topic. And I was like, oh, you are not wrong.
Good job, Dad.
And so then, Sarah, when you're like Disney princesses, I was like, oh, she doesn't know what's gonna happen. I'm so sorry now.
Like... No, that's okay. I mean, I know, so there were some movies that were released to like Amazon that were $20 to rent. So like that was something that I had experienced, but I didn't agree with the fact that theaters are now open. we're not going to send it to theaters. We're only going to make it available on our streaming service and also charge a very large rental fee. I could see them trying to, like, it's brand new and they could put it only on their streaming service, but have it be a much smaller. The fact that it's like 30 some, you know, it's so much money.
And you know what? Truthfully, they made so much money on Onward. Did you guys ever see that one? It was supposed to
be. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Yeah.
So they just released it. They just straight up released it. You still have to pay for like Disney Plus, but you can see it. And they made so much money on people subscribing to Disney Plus and like watching Onward.
And I think it was also available to rent previous to its release on Disney Plus on streaming services like Prime. Or, like, on Amazon, because there were a bunch of movies once COVID started and they shut down all the theaters that had just been in. So I rented Emma and watched it twice in my 24-hour allotted time.
Yes, as you should.
Because that movie is beautiful. You know, and so I think Onward also did that. So they made money from there and then they also put it on their streaming service. But slight other tangent on the problematic side. So in college had a professor, it was a communications class, and one day she invited one of the other comm professors to come in, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna ruin Disney for you, so if you'd like to, you know, live in ignorance, you can put your headphones in, you can go to sleep, you could leave, whatever you want, I don't care, but I'm gonna ruin Disney for you. And that's how he started the class, and I was sold. And I was like, this is fantastic.
I'm so excited for yes.
And I don't remember a lot of what he said because I filter things and compartmentalize and they go in boxes and they're somewhere in storage. Things I do remember is that he is a little girl and he said that he only will let her watch some of the newer Disney princess movies or the newer Disney movies. And I think Frozen had just come out. And so he would only let her watch that one, but he would always talk like, and I know we've all seen this, how like Sleeping Beauty is date rape and Beauty and the Beast is Stockholm Syndrome or whatever. Like, so he talked about that, which I had never heard before that time. And now I have seen that multiple places where they just talk about how like the stories themselves can be problematic. But one thing I will never forget is he said, put your hands on either side of your face and then bring them down. And that's the size of your waist. Does it match? Because according to Disney and all of their princesses, even the ones that dress in drag, the size of your face is the size of your waist. And so he talks about how Disney has inadvertently, you know, caused us to view our bodies differently and think that we're not, like, that was his whole point. And but it was so interesting to me because I'd never realized the proportions of a Disney princess before.
Oh yeah, they're horrifying. Yeah.
There's an amazing animator on TikTok who reanimates Disney princesses. I will find her and credit her because it's really cool, but she goes through and she reanimates them to be more authentic and true to life, and they look so good.
Yeah, also their faces, especially the newer ones, starting with like, I want to say like Tiana, their eyes are so big. They look like Barbies. They look like moving Barbies.
Yeah,
that's one thing she'll do, because she shows you how she you know, it's kind of like she's playing music and she, you know, she makes their, and most of the time their eyes get completely whited out, and then she puts in the, like, it's like four times smaller, you know. Yeah. And she like shrinks it all down, and it's really cool.
Yep. All right. Well, that's really all that I had planned. Do you have any other tangents, any other topics about Disney and the princesses that you want to talk about?
Oh my
gosh. Did you ever meet a Disney princess, etc.?
Well, okay. So I've not ever met a Disney princess, which is unfortunate.
Very.
However, I did once meet Esmeralda at Disneyland.
Yes. Delightful.
And that was like literally the highlight of my life. When I was like, what, 8 and I didn't understand what the Hunchback of Notre Dame was.
My
about.
Parents Super were cool. So like, my mom was like, that's not a children's story. Why did they make it into a children's movie? And we were never allowed to watch it.
Really? Dude, it is fun. Honestly such a good movie. It just sucks because like it's so great, but there are parts of it that are so tone deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And like it just like it's like we're a kid's movie. Like it's like the worst part of that movie is Paris is literally on fire and then the gargoyles are like, you gotta go get the girl. Like Paris is literally on fire because, you know, government oppression and shit and like trying to find all of the, you know, the Romani people. And it's just like and burning everything alive, everyone alive. And it's like, you know, sure, Paris is on fire, but you're in love. And it's like, oh God. Ooh, I don't like that. But what my topic is, what's your favorite Disney princess song? What's your favorite Disney princess song? And just to like go through them, like we should just go through the iconic Disney princess songs, starting from the beginning. So, but I don't remember them all in order. I don't think, but let's just do Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
Someday my prince will come. Nope. Okay. All right. Cool. I'm glad we're all on the same page. And then Cinderella. I don't remember what Cinderella's
dream
song is
a wish
ever...
your heart makes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. A dream is a wish your heart makes.
No, I mean, it's
when
fine.
You're fast asleep.
I'm like, bobbity boo is a bop. That one put me to sleep.
Yeah. We're just going with the iconic song that the Disney princess sings. So then we have Aurora, which she sings, I know you, I walk with you.
I actually really like that song. It sounds almost operatic.
She was an opera singer, the person that they got, I do believe.
Oh, that completely makes sense. Yeah.
I know you.
But I would not.
Your eyes is so familiar to
I think
me.
It's
a great
I
song.
I think it's definitely better than the other two. It's not my favorite, but it is good.
Here's the tea. I sang the Mulan song as a solo in 7th grade choir.
Reflection?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, when we get there you can sing it.
Oh, I'm not good at it. Oh no.
Okay. All right.
So now we have Ariel.
All right, so the next one, Ariel. I want to be where the people are.
I just love Ariel.
I want to see them dancing, walking along on those, what do you call them?
Feet.
Streets. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing. Okay, but okay, so that one, how do we feel about that one?
I like that one.
I mean, I love it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's definitely in the top 6, because if we have 12 total, if we're...
Yeah, it's in the top 50% for sure. Okay, so Belle... every time I think of Belle, I don't think of the song Belle. I think of the one from the musical that's like, I don't even think it's in the movie.
Which one?
So this song is called Home. And it's like after it's the song that was cut from the movie and then they put it back into the stage version. And so after she gives up, she's like, okay, take me instead of my dad. And so her song after she like realizes what she's done is she's like, is this home? Is this where I must learn to be happy? Far away from the world until new knows when. It's like really sad. And then there's a reprise later where she's like, this is home. You're my home. When she's like learning about like confessing her love to the Beast. And it's so beautiful. However, most people haven't seen the musical.
I didn't know. No.
You don't know that.
I was like, oh, that's exciting to know.
Like, that was the jam. Oh. I love.
Well,
like,
you were a musical theater kid. I was
in Beauty and the Beast musical. It was great. but the one that she's like, I want so much more than this provincial life.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, I want adventure in the great wide somewhere.
I like it a lot.
I love that whole movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that one. Next. Who's next?
Jasmine.
Jasmine doesn't sing.
Nope.
But in the new one, she has her own in her like the remake.
I was gonna say in the live action, which is really good.
Yeah, I love the new live action Aladdin. Actually,
yeah,
like the guy that they got to play Aladdin is charming as fuck, and uh-huh. I love him so much. And I'm mm-hmm. like, man, I'm a suit.
Aren't they both like, musical theater people?
They are both musical theater people.
So they're so good. They're so good.
But I can't even like I know that I don't even know how her new song goes because it's that basic mm-hmm, and boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes me kind of sad. Then Mulan.
Uh-huh. Reflection. Right? Perfect.
Pocahontas is next.
Oh, Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, what is she?
Colors of the Wind?
Duh.
Or Just Around the River Bend. That's her.
Or Just
Around,
I more associate Pocahontas with Just Around the River Bend.
Yeah.
I look once more just around the river bend, beyond mm-hmm. the shore, somewhere past the sea. Oh, such a good song. I love that song.
I do too.
Because mm-hmm. it's about decisions and what are you going to do with your future? And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm.
Now.
And like the best part of that song is, or do you still wait for me, dream giver? I love that part. I don't know why. I get this one every time.
Every time.
And I'm like, oh, I love you.
It's so
All right, next one. Now, Mulan. Corey, can you please grace us with your singing of Reflection?
Yes. I cannot because I haven't sang in probably 12 years.
In public. I'm like, you probably sang earlier today.
Yes.
You sang on the podcast mm-hmm. just now mm-hmm. when you were singing about Gus.
Aw, I love
I
Gus.
I know. So that song is so good. And like by the way, I am not as good as any of the people who originally sang mm-hmm. this song. And I am sure as shit not as good as Leah Salonga.
No
who
one is the singing voice in Malanga.
She's perfection. Like yeah. But so, who is that girl I see
staring straight back at me?
Yeah. Why does my reflection show someone I don't know?
Such an iconic
song about who am I?
And truthfully, the two best, so that song and then I'll Make a Man Out of You, classics.
Honestly, though, like, how did Disney manage to both get and then kind of hide the fact that Donny Osmond is the singing voice of Shaq?
Okay, right? I have a very fun story for you.
Yes. It has to do with unless this. You want to save it. Unless you want to save it for our Disney princes.
No, let's do it. Do it.
No,
now.
We'll do it now. It's, do it now. It's Donny Osmond related.
Yay. So,
a couple years ago, The Masked Singer came out. It's the stupidest show.
Oh, I love The Masked Singer. Are you kidding?
So I watched the first episode with my family and the peacock comes on and I'm like, that's Donny Osmond. And no one believes me. They're like, oh, I can kind of hear that. None of the judges know. And you have to keep waiting. But he's saying, and I'm like, that's Donny Osmond. I know this because do you know how many times I've listened to I'll Make a Man Out of You? Like, that's him.
Yes.
Like, I've listened to that song so many times. It was like our golf team theme song in high school. Like, I love this song. And so, yeah. And then I was like, ha, I knew it immediately. Y'all are stupid.
I love that so much.
That is incredible.
My mom met
a
couple of the Osmonds, Donnie and like two others.
Marie?
No, it was the brother.
Oh, I don't care about any of the Osmonds besides Donnie.
Are you ready? She went to a concert. I mean, this is like peak 70s, Donnie. You know what I mean? This is peak 70s, everyone. She and a friend went to a concert, and then my mom was like so excited and like at the end of the concert, and her friend goes, we have to go now. And she was like, why? Like, we're writing this amazing, like, it was such a good concert. And she goes, we have to get to the airport right now. And she was like, why? And they literally like met them on the tarmac.
What?
She like knew how to be a fangirl, and like my mom has like a popsicle stick still from like the brother that she met because he like gave her his popsicle. It is peak 70s and it's my favorite, and I'll have my mom on someday to truly tell the story, because if she's listening, she's going and saying, so I'm telling it wrong, but they met them and I love it.
Another related Donny Osmond tangent. The first time that me and Corey really talked to one another is we were in a history class and the song of the day was Soldier of Love.
Yeah.
And we were the only people who knew that song. And we're like, I was like, you know the song? And she was like, yeah, I love it. And I was like, oh my God. And so I was like, this is the start of a beautiful friendship that we both know this obscure song from the 80s by Donny
Osmond. So good.
I love that.
I had his greatest hits album that like comes out, you know, on the silver, like the silver CDs that would come out,
the essential,
and I would just play it over and over and over again.
So good. Right. Anyway, back to Princess
Tiana
songs.
Is next.
Who is next? I would say that hers is I'm almost there. Mm-hmm. I'm almost there. Mm-hmm. People gonna come here from everywhere, and I'm almost there.
She's by the way, whole movie is so good.
So good. But Anika Noni Rose, who's the voice, both the speaking voice and the singing voice of Tiana, she's a musical theater person. Yep. But she was in Dreamgirls.
Sure was.
She's a Dreamgirl. And it's so funny because Jennifer Hudson and Beyonce both went out for Tiana and they gave it to the other Dreamgirl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Rapunzel.
Who's the next one? Rapunzel, I would say her song is When Will My Life Begin, but the best song is And At Last I See the Light.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
It's like the fog has lifted. Oh, man. And plus, like,
they got Zachary
I can't believe
Levi to sing, and I'm like, I melted.
Thank you.
I've melted. Thank you. My body is gone.
And it's fucking like Mandy Moore.
Yeah,
right?
Like Mandy.
I always loved
Mandy
her.
Moore,
underestimated
and I'm like,
her.
She's so underappreciated mm-hmm. in Hollywood because she literally does everything, and it just is so like it blows my mind that she was like a teeny bop one hit wonder,
right?
And she's like made a huge career, like a huge career in acting through that, and I'm just like, I'm so proud of you, girl. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you. Mm-hmm. Who's next?
Merida.
Okay, so I really like the Merida songs, but she doesn't sing them.
Oh, yeah, like the whole movie.
So they're like kind of like the her internal, like she doesn't actually sing them.
Mm-hmm.
They are not diegetic; like she's not singing them in her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't open her mouth. It's like in her brain. Mm-hmm. But the song is "Touch the Sky," and they got a traditional like Gaelic singer to sing them all. And there's like so Scottish.
It's so good.
But it's like touch the sky. And it's just so good. I love them. I haven't listened to them in a long time, actually. I should do it again. Anyway, who's
Moana?
Next? Every see the line where the sky means sea. It calls me. And no one knows how far it goes.
Do you know the best part about Moana, post Moana? Is the Rock trying to convince his children that he is Maui and they don't believe him? Have you seen those videos on his Instagram?
No, but I love that.
His two
that.
Daughters who are very little know every word. He'll sit there and sing every word to like the Maui rap, and then he'll go, "Daddy's Maui," and the littlest girl goes,
"Mm-mm." I love that.
Every fucking Incredible. Time, it's so good. He's like, "I'm Maui, and my kids don't believe me."
I
love that.
I
but
love
they love
that.
The movie. They love Moana.
Yeah,
that's incredible. I love that.
And then I feel like we should probably we can do Anna and Elsa if you want. Otherwise, that's technically the 12 Disney princesses.
I mean, let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back.
I don't know why people hate that song. Like, so many people hate that song and think it's not good. And I remember being in the theater and having, like, chills go down my body.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's also the accompanying, like, graphics that are there as well. But, like, so
let me,
good.
Let me explain why people hate.
Besides it being overplayed.
Frozen. So, number one, it's overplayed by the people who are not musical theater / Disney people. Musical theater people know that Let It Go is Defying Gravity Light. Defying Gravity being the signature song from Wicked. And Wicked was in that song, the Wicked Witch of the East, or Wicked Witch of the West, is played by Idina Menzel, mm-hmm. who, crazy, plays Elsa. So they were just like, oh, look, We have the girl who can sing Defying Gravity. We're just going to rewrite it with the same exact themes and basically the exact same chord and key structure with different lyrics. That's why people hate it. That being said, I prefer the new one.
Yes.
The song from Frozen 2 that I cannot even remember what it's called.
Into the Unknown.
Into the Unknown.
Yeah, it's so good.
Into the Unknown.
Panic at the Disco did the other cover, and it's...
Uh-huh.
Into the Unknown.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, man, so good. That song, like, the movie Frozen is better than Frozen 2, but Into the Unknown, unpopular opinion maybe, is better than Let It Go.
So, I would agree that Into the Unknown is better than Let It Go. But I actually really enjoyed Frozen 2. I cried openly in the theater during Frozen 2.
Yeah. I mean, I cried openly in the theater because of the random music video from the 80s that's Chris, got to sing.
I cried openly during that scene.
It was incredible. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? I am so glad to be alive.
Yeah.
I can see this.
It's almost the thing with Frozen 2 that I think did not get talked about is they basically made it for the people who had come of age with Frozen. And so then they were like, here's a little bit more of an adult film. But people were taking their kids, their like little kids, thinking this is going to be the same as Frozen, the first one. And Frozen 2 is dark.
The way that they tackle grief, I just thought it was so beautifully done.
It's so good.
I think this is so tangible for a little kid to watch this movie and understand these difficult concepts. So I liked it. I would agree the story was more convoluted than the first one.
For sure.
But I just liked some of the topics and the themes. I liked the way Elsa realized she's not actually the queen and how that was giving her a lot of anxiety and all of these things. And it wasn't who she really was. So there were a lot of things I really, really appreciated about Frozen 2.
Well, and they tackled finding out that your family was the problematic people and your family is the one who came and murdered indigenous peoples. Really,
and so now you have to fix it.
Yeah, but for a children's perspective, I thought when that happened in the movie, and it was basically just there is no excuse. My grandfather came and killed these people, and he destroyed their way of life, and now I have to fix it. I thought it was incredible, and it's a conversation people have a hard time having now.
Yeah,
and you can watch Frozen and have this conversation.
Yep.
Similarly, how Zootopia tackles systemic racism.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super good. Which, by the way, if you're like, I like Zootopia, but I want more, you should watch Beastars. and talk to me about
Not
it.
Not wrong.
So
I have one final. Sorry, Sarah.
Well, I was just going to say that it's interesting because you were talking about what's your favorite princess song? I always liked the villain songs.
The villain songs are the best.
Just straight up. To this day, I made a playlist for our road trip, and it included the one from The Little Mermaid.
Poor Unfortunate Soul.
And Be Prepared, which is ultimately my absolute favorite villain song. Yeah. I love Be Prepared.
The best to me, of course, because it's my favorite, I love The Princess and the Frog. To me, the best villain song is Friends on the Other Side. That one is genuinely, as I was 18 when I saw that movie, and I was like, I am genuinely terrified of this guy. I am straight up so scared. But my new favorite villain song is Shiny.
Oh, right.
I'm Shiny.
It's so good. And at the end, did you like my song?
did you like my song? Oh, I can't even. I can't do a Kiwi accent to save my life. But Jemaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords is a fucking Tamatoa, and I'm like, you're funny. You're still a semi-mini demigod. I'm Shiny.
So my mom doesn't like animated movies.
Surprise, surprise. A mother who doesn't like animated movies. Yeah.
She doesn't like any kind of like, so my family, my sister and I decided to watch Quest for Camelot last night, which is nice. Amazing.
Fuck yeah.
And
87 movies in one.
It's just it's so good. It's ridiculous. We watched it with someone who had never seen it, and she's like, I want to like it, but I don't know if I can. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, valid. I just remember falling in love with it as a small child, and so I love it. And so she doesn't watch animated movies really, so she's never seen Moana. But the other day she was talking about how there was something that was hers because it was shiny. And then I started singing Shiny, and she didn't know what I was talking about. And I'm like, all right, Mom, you have to sit down. You have to watch this.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if she cared, but I made her watch it because I added it to her theme song playlist that I'm creating for her.
Good, oh, as so you nice. Said.
Yeah. It's just Shiny, and I want you to want me. That's it that I have so far, but...
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Any other final thoughts, Corey?
Yes. I have one. So I highly encourage people to research the original meaning of fairy tales and the original stories of fairy tales. Because the thing that Disney has brought us is completely changed the meaning of fairy tales as a Western culture. Previous to Disney, fairy tales were actually really scary, and they were kind of like cautionary tales, and they were morality tales. And then Disney was like, hey, let's make this for like little kids. Like, let's just like do this for like modern little kids. And they kind of can be credited to creating modern childhood.
Yep.
And so if you go and you just look at like, you know, and this is like, fairies and fairy tales, especially in the Irish tradition, are very scary. Fairies are demonic and evil, and they will take your children from you, like all this stuff, right? So everything we've been talking about today, just princesses in general, but Disney princesses, is a completely new phenomenon, and it's really fascinating, and it's really fun to talk about. And I won't do that now because we're already so over time.
Yeah.
But
literally, this is a long
podcast. This is a long podcast.
So many tangents.
Right. Because the thing is, like, even with my anger over Mulan and Disney's treatment of their people, like, it is so cool and such a, like, crazy phenomenon that they have created truly worldwide now.
Mm-hmm.
Of like fairy tales being like fun and light, but to still have meaning behind them. And yeah, I just think people really downplay loving Disney princesses. And I would just like to say that I got to meet Tiana at Disneyland when I was like 22, and it is still the highlight of my life.
That's incredible.
I love that.
I legitimately, okay, so for people who don't know, the Disney princesses no longer walk around because they got mobbed. So you have to go and see them. And you have to pay money to walk into a room and, like, meet all the different Disney princesses, which is actually, like, a safety issue for the princesses. It's great.
Oh, they have to do that with the Star Wars characters. Yes. And with the Marvel characters, too.
Yeah. But so a friend of mine and I were there with my family. Is that right? I think this was the year we went. And we were just kind of, like, we got a little lost trying to find a bathroom. And Princess freaking Tiana was coming out of a bathroom. And legitimately, like, I stopped. Like, her makeup was incredible. Her character acting was fantastic. And I was just, like, shaking. I'm, like, 22. And I'm, like, shaking and meeting a princess. And it was so great.
I feel like meeting a Disney princess is, like, the straight people version of meeting a drag queen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've also met drag queens who were, oh, my God. That's a whole other story.
Watching Bob the drag queen walk in front of me and step on my friend's foot, I was just like, you can do no wrong. You're so tall and glamorous and gorgeous. Purse first. Uh-huh. I love you.
I love that. Yes.
But, okay, that's all I've got, Sarah.
Wonderful. All right. So what are we loving this week, ladies?
I don't know. There's a lot going on in my life. Oh, I know. So I just came back from
house sitting back to my apartment where I have not been in many, many weeks. And so I got many packages because I had ordered many things while I was away slash before I kind of left. And one of the things I got was a new pan, and it's one of those Our Place pans. So it's like ceramic on the outside and it's nonstick on the inside, and it's got multiple different functions, and it's like deep enough to boil pasta in, but it's also a skillet, and it also has a steamer basket, and
nice.
It also has its own and it also has its own like a holder for its own like wooden spoon thing. And I have never felt so passionate about a kitchen item before in my life.
Love that. That's fantastic.
Oh, I love it.
Corey?
Yeah.
I am currently reading and finishing the third book in the trilogy for the Fifth Wave. It's called The Last Star, and it is so good. If you guys like young adult, like post-apocalyptic books, please read this series. It's by, I think, Philip Putnam. And they are so good. But The Last Star, it's just young adult and floofy. I mean, it's not floofy. Children die. But, you know, it's great.
Wonderful. And I got a new phone.
So yay!
I'm going to say that I'm having this week. So.
Nice. Yes. So who's choosing next week?
Corey is.
Corey, what are we doing next week?
We're going to be keeping on a theme.
Ooh.
We are going to be watching the Cinderella live action 2015 with Lily James and Rob Stark.
Like the same way that we watched The Host. Like, oh, nice. Where we, yes. Okay, cool,
yeah,
cool,
I think,
cool.
I think that's the best
cool,
way.
Cool. No doubt.
So everyone, please watch it before you listen to the podcast. But we'll start the podcast and then we'll chit-chat at the beginning. Then we'll pause and we'll watch the movie and then we'll come back.
Sounds great.
Because I do like those because they're super fun.
Yeah.
But y'all, it's been a long podcast. So
it has been a long, long time.
Thank you for listening to the Drive Time Pod. We are completely listener supported because we make no money.
we are here for your love and affection. That is why we're here.
If you know any big company, like, I don't know, Disney, that wants to give us money, please send them our way. Seriously. You can tell them to DM us on Instagram at the Drive Time Pod, or you can tell them to email us. Our email is thedrivetimepod@gmail.com. Other than that, we hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day, that we know you once upon a dream, and that... And we just don't know how far we're going to go, you know? But other than that.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.